You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. In Odyssey Station. Odyssey Station. Odyssey Station.
With the first pick in the 2024 WNBA Draft, the Indiana Fever select Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa.
That's about as surprising as what the NFL Draft is going to bring. The fait accompli will be here as it was there. But cool times, big stuff going on in the WNBA, and an impressive night for them. Here to talk about it with the voice she has left is Annie Costable, Sun-Times writer covering the Sky and the WNBA on Twitter, at Annie Costable, and with us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. How's it going, Annie?
Guys, thank you for having me. Also, I love that you brought me in to some Bad Bunny music in the background. Mm-hmm. I am doing my best, Lawrence. Can you stop laughing at me? People can't hear me. People can't hear me.
My bad.
Stop laughing. Let me talk. No one can hear me when you're laughing over me.
I love
it. Go ahead. Make your joke.
No, look. I had a blowout on the air a couple months ago.
God.
I had to leave the show because I couldn't talk. You're talking way better than what I was. Sorry about that, Annie. Love you dearly.
It's just, I love to hear myself talk, and this is the situation I get in. You know, I like talk too much, and then I come up with a hoarse voice. So it's just, it's comes with the job.
How great was last night?
Oh my God, it wasn't even just last night. It was from start to finish, being in Brooklyn this weekend, the coverage, the everything that we were able to get done at the Sun-Times. I'm first and foremost just so proud. We had a live blog. I checked in with local designer Robin Harris, who was styling draftees. I caught up with Nadia Rawlinson, chairwoman and co-owner of the Sky, and then, you know, obviously made it to the draft. And the attention and fandom surrounding the WNBA right now is oh my God, immeasurable. It's to see fans lined up outside of the draft, to see fans lined up outside of the Empire State Building at 9 a.m. to catch a glimpse of these players. It was giving professional sports league.
Well, it's funny that you brought up like talking to a stylist, because Dan and I were having this discussion and we were sitting there kind of going, wait, is the question we're getting ready to ask like misogynistic? Here's what I want to know from you. Why does it seem like that the women are better put together at the draft than the men are when it comes to what they're wearing?
You know what? I don't think this is a misogynistic question. And I think it honestly is a discussion to have to like open up thoughts on why, you know, so many business opportunities have been missed when it comes to women, because women are so multifaceted, and this is not to shade either one of you, but women just come with more opportunities. You know, like when you think about what goes into preparation for something like the draft, it is hair, it is makeup, it is an entire look. Some of them had two looks. And when you think about that from a business perspective, from a brand perspective, these are all opportunities to connect with brands, to connect with, you know, whether it's a clothing brand or a makeup brand, or a face cream brand, whatever it is.
It's hair, like, care.
These are hair care, exactly. These are doors that are more accessible to women. And honestly, that's sexist too, because why can't a man talk about his brand deals with a nail polish company? Who is it at Duke who he has an NIL deal with? Exactly. So it's like, yes, I think women have historically done this better in terms of style and fashion and makeup and all of these things. But I do think, again, it's a conversation to have on both sides, because these are the brand opportunities that should be available to women, for sure. But women and men, why not?
I also think that the WNBA will have to sort out its own cultural divide on that issue, too, and try to set the example from the inside out. Because, Annie, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Skylar Diggins run into some resentment for touching up her makeup at halftime of a game or caring about how it looked? That there are some people who are going to embrace that. And in the locker rooms, even on some benches, there's still that, oh, you know what? If you practice as hard as you cared about your makeup kind of thing. So I do think that it's got to be streamlined and everybody's got to be on board before it's really successful being pushed outwardly, as you say.
No, I see. I disagree with you there. I don't know exactly what situation you're talking about with Skylar. I have no insight on that. I can't recall what that situation was. But my opinion on it is each team is filled with players who have a different identity, a different style, they present themselves in different ways. And that's what's so beautiful about the WNBA is everyone's represented. And within each organization, that's what needs to be established, is there's respect for the way everyone is showing up. Fans might not get it. That might be the easiest thing for fans to come at is, oh, so-and-so is showing up in this way. It must mean she doesn't care about the game as much. But no. That's inaccurate. I think the game is the game, and who you are off the court is who you are off the court. And if those mix, great. But it doesn't take away from a player's ability or what they bring to the court. I think maybe we'll see opinions on that, but I think the league's already doing a great job of embracing the way that players show up. They haven't always, let me say that. Historically, this league has not always done that. We're in a moment right now where players are showing up authentically, and it's in large part because they've pushed the needle. They've made that effort. They've fought to show up as themselves, even when it wasn't trendy to do so.
Oh, I agree. I definitely agree with making sure that it's cool. And because the NBA fought it too. The NBA had all of these guys making their fashion statements and showing up in haute couture designed by their friends. And who do they think they are? When, hell, you know, Kevin Durant would still wear his sweats from home and not even comb his hair. And he didn't care. And then he just carries himself differently. As long as the message is we are able to contain multitudes of people representing all kinds of different true selves, then that's the win.
Totally. And to that point, like I was talking to a friend recently, he's in, you know, the basketball space as well. And we were having that discussion about how the NBA, these tunnel fits have taken over. Right. And he was being really harsh. He was like, what did he say? He said something along the lines of like, some guys take their outfits more serious than their game. And I was like, yeah, but you know, these are business opportunities for them. And people may not like that. But if they're still doing, it's like, okay, look at my job, for example. I'm a traditional print writer, right? But I have all these other things that I like to do, including fashion, including, you know, just all these other lanes you want to tap into. And as long as like my print flow isn't suffering at the expense of these other things, I think why not be multidimensional?
Yep, and making us all look bad when we show up to the United Center and you're there because you're always dressed really, really well and the rest of us look like slobs. Now, let's talk a little bit about the basketball of this. Is it fair to wonder, and is it fair to say that the Sky targeted Angel Reese and that's why they moved from 8 to 7 in the draft?
Oh, yeah, no, that's exactly what they did. They wanted Angel, and they got her. That's totally fair, Lawrence. Way to go.
All right, so let's talk about her and Camilla as front court partners. I feel like this has an opportunity to be a really good partnership with those two because they're fierce competitors. They're both great rebounders. How does this work with touches for them?
Okay, so this is so interesting and so going to be so fun to watch develop, right? Because the reality is this isn't – I know fans are so excited and they should be – but this isn't an immediate turnaround. You know, the Sky have a lot of work to do to develop these two players. This year, their roster is really strong in the front court. And I'm not saying that to say, like, Camilla and Angel aren't going to play. Of course they're going to play. But they're going to be learning from other vets in this league that have already, you know, solidified their names in this league. Elizabeth Williams is one of them. And I think the other interesting part about this tandem is neither of them have a three-point game. And when we watch or when we look at the way that basketball is evolving, the game is evolving, it's a positionless game, or it's becoming a positionless game. So it makes these selections a little bit like, wait, what are you guys doing here? But that's the thing. I think this is the identity that this guy want to have. They want to be tough. They want to be these gritty, God, who was it? I think it was Ricky O'Donnell. He compared them to some like vintage NBA team. And I'm going to botch it, so I'm not going to mess it up, but go check out his Twitter. He posted a great tweet and I agreed with it. Anyways, this is going to be a physical dominant inside base team. And I think, you know, when it comes to Camilla and Angel's development, that's going to determine the touches, like you said. And I think they're both going to need to expand their game outside of the paint.
Is Brenna Maxwell going to make this team?
I think that's a great question. I think it's one that, like, I don't even have the answer to right now. But the reason why it's a great question is because, you know, when you look at the draft, I mean, the second round of the NBA gets tough too. But in the WNBA, we know there's only 12 roster spots, and most teams only carry 11 because of the hard salary cap. So for a player like Brenna, she's coming into a roster that's at 14, and they're at 15, and they're only going to be able to carry 12. So when you look at their training camp players, two of those training camp players can really excel during training camp. And if they do, then those training camp contracts they're on right now are going to be turned into, you know, full season contracts. And in that case, we're going to see someone like Brenna not make the roster. But if she comes into training camp and shows out what her skill set brings is she's a shooter. Her efficiency from the 3-point line is excellent. And so if she can really hone that skill set and prove herself invaluable on this roster, then they'll keep her.
All right, Annie, go get yourself a Starbucks medicine ball and rest your voice.
Annie, we appreciate you soldiering through this. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys. I love coming on.
That's Annie Costable of the Chicago Sun-Times.
Just toughing it out, sitting there in her hotel room, toughing it out for us.
Report here coming in from CBS Chicago. Ayo Dosunmu, who missed the last four games with a right quad contusion, says he is feeling better. Hopes to play against the Hawks, will assess tomorrow after treatment. Hopes swelling continues to move in the right direction. Sprinting at top speed is his last hurdle. Billy Donovan said Andre Drummond did not practice and still has some swelling in his ankle, so that is not trending in a great direction.
Do you know who we can ask about that?
Who?
Our partner.
Because Layla's covering.
She's there today.
Today.
Yeah, so tomorrow we can get a full report.
Ahead of the game tomorrow night when the Bulls take on the Hawks at United Center in the NBA play-in tournament. Pre-game coverage begins at 8:15, tip-off 8:30. The only local broadcast of the game can be heard on 670 The Score and in Chicagoland on the free Odyssey app.